The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Stand up and shout!
Off the turnover, the Nuggets out and running. Jokic playing a little give and go with Gordon for the easy layup. Jokic goes quick again. Nice little deceleration for the layup. And it's a two-point game. Zubac sets the screen. He's got Jokic on an island. Floater is good. Mr. Clutch. Reggie Jackson gives the Clippers a two-point lead. Jokic cuts. His floater a little bit strong. Got it back. Just dominating inside. Owning the paint.
It's just so crazy.
He's got a 40-piece. On the wing, Jokic, five on the shot clock. They double team him late. Cross court, Gordon for the lead. Got it! AG! Okay. Helmholtz and he's got a fight.
No surprise here.
This is the fifth time McDermott and DeLaurier have dropped the gloves over their careers. This is the heavyweight matchup. And a marathon bout between McDermott and DeLaurier, and they're still going. McDermott with a late-round comeback here. Kadri on the backhand. Gerard in the slot.
I would have thought that Denver would be the front-runner, and I still think that Denver might be the front-runner. But he is from New Jersey, and I do know that the Giants have a sentimental appeal. And I'd be curious to know who their GM is and what the relationship he might or might not have with Dan Quinn, because I think the Giants might offer enough just with geography to trump Denver.
Quick hitters, we have the Avalanche tonight playing the LA Kings. We'll have the postgame show right here. Most content for the Avs right here on The Fan. They win 2-0. Francouz and Darcy Kuemper. Kuemper will start tonight. Do we have a goalie controversy? Should they consider Francouz more than Kuemper?
Oh, I 100% think they should. Now, you know, Frankie might not have played enough hockey yet to have earned that role, but I think it needs to be a consideration. All I know is that I feel like the Avalanche have won way too many games this year, like 8-6, 6-4. I mean, they've had to score 5, 6, 7, 8 goals in order to get the victory, and that's not cool, man. Last night's game, to me, that was what it's going to be like as the season progresses. You're going to have to win the game 1-0, which is what it was until you got the empty netter. And, I mean, he pitched a shutout on 34 shots.
Joel Embiid goes for 50, then Jokic goes for 49, 14, yeah, and 10. Who had the better night, and will it turn a key for the MVP?
Man, I sure hope so. I don't even understand why it's even a conversation about MVP right now. It's obvious that Nikola Jokic is the MVP. But I do think that moments like that matter in the big picture, because you need moments like that to get on ESPN, because ESPN doesn't want to show Nikola Jokic. They don't want to show the Denver Nuggets, but you need a moment in which there's a game winner. And I know that he didn't hit the game winner, but he was involved in the game winner. I mean, he created the game winner, and then you show the stat line that's alongside of it. I do think that games like that have a huge role in the MVP vote.
Dan Quinn grew up in Jersey.
Yeah.
Morristown. Doesn't matter.
No, Tony.
Tony was a Jets fan, has been pointed out Jets many times, and he loved Eric Mangini specifically.
Wow, that was dumb. Yeah. So Tony knows nothing about football.
He didn't have the makings of a varsity athlete.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Yep.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter for Dan Quinn that he's from Jersey, and now he might have an opportunity. Well, he will get an offer from the Giants. He's going to get an offer from everybody he interviews with.
It sure feels that way. I don't think that matters that much, D-Mac. I mean, it's hard to tell. You know, how much family does he have? Does he have mom and dad that are still out there? Okay, that would impact it. I don't think that the nostalgic factor of coaching the team that you grew up rooting for means anything at this point. I mean, Dan Quinn has been coaching since 1994. The last time that he's basically been on the road away from Jersey for 30-some years with a stint or two with the Jets and Hofstra, where he was back in the area for a couple of years. So what I'm saying is he's lived an entire lifetime since when he was growing up and was allegedly a Jets fan, or a Giants fan, I'm sorry. I don't think that matters too much, but if he has family, It might. You know, Mike Munchak, he was only interested in this job because it brought him around his daughter.
It did, yeah.
And this was the only city that he wanted to be. He didn't even want to be a head coach. He only interviewed for this job because it was in Denver. And then he takes the job at a place that said, you're not good enough to be the head coach because you want to be about it around his daughter. So I won't discount family. But I don't think that the nostalgic factor of coaching for the team means anything. Here's what means something. The Giants have got number 5 and number 7. That's a factor, okay? If you don't like Daniel Jones, well, you can select his replacement, and you can still get another top 10 pick. That's a big deal. The fact that they haven't hired a GM yet, I think that that's significant because I know Dan Quinn. I've worked around him. I know how he wants to do his business, and he wants to work arm-in-arm with his GM. So there's not going to be a division between the GM and Dan Quinn. Dan, maybe Dan's got the final voice, but it really doesn't matter. When you look at John Schneider and Pete Carroll, they're arm in arm. You look at Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, they're arm in arm. I think that George Payton's got a leg up when it comes to that particular category. However, if you told Dan Quinn, hey, come out to New York and you get to choose your GM, you get number 5, you get number 7, that's a hell of a deal, man.
The two candidates today were Brian Callahan with the Bengals and Kevin O'Connell with the Rams. We'll talk to Jordan Rodrigue in just a little bit, the Athletics beat writer for the Rams, to get a little bit more insight into O'Connell. Who's done the better job with their team? What should we be more impressed by? What's happening in Cincinnati or what's happening in L.A.?
Oh, there's a good one. Well, I'm more impressed by Cincinnati. I don't know that it has much to do with Brian Callahan himself, nor does the overall success out there in L.A. have much to do with Kevin O'Connell himself. But the turnaround job that Zach Taylor's been able to accomplish has been pretty incredible. I mean, that was a bad organization, and things were not going well, and it took him a few years to have success, and it took great quarterback play to get there. The Rams, man, they've been... Since before Kevin O'Connell got there, for sure, they've been successful since Sean McVay got there. So big picture, I think it's the Bengals. But I don't know that either one of those is a fair question. Like, when you think of the Bengals' success, do you think of Brian Callahan? When you think of the Rams' success, do you think of Kevin O'Connell?
I do not. I don't think of either of them for either success. I think of Zach Taylor, and I think of Sean McVay.
Of course. So
how serious are these two candidates today, then, do you think?
Well, I think it's a serious tell that you flew to every candidate except for Brian Callahan. Yeah, I don't know how that couldn't be a tell.
The Broncos did announce recently that they wrapped up their Zoom interview with Callahan.
Okay, so you fly to Detroit. You fly to Green Bay. Mm-hmm. You fly to L.A. You fly...
Providence.
Philly. Yeah. You flew everywhere except for to Cincinnati to see Brian Callahan. That's weird. Like, the fact that they're even on the road interviewing these guys is unusual. Unless they're in the playoffs, you make them come to you. So I think that Kevin O'Connell's got the leg up just based off that fact alone.
Interesting question here. Do you think Dan Quinn would consider New York, the Giants, because it's a terrible division and a heck of a lot easier to win in than the AFC West? That's kind of a fun question. Like, what job for what team gives him the quickest path to winning?
I think it's a fair question. I don't think it's going to play into it. I mean, real competitors, I don't think they concern themselves with that. Like Aaron Rodgers, is he going to be concerned that Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert are in the AFC West? No. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's Aaron Rodgers, right? Like I'm going to win. Mm-hmm. I'm the top dog here.
Right.
And I don't think the real competitors really think that way. So I would say for a first-time coach or somebody that doesn't have a ton of belief in themselves, that's probably a good factor and a good point. But for Dan Quinn, I don't think that that's going to play into it. And another interesting observation, you know, I gave a lot of pros for New York. Mm-hmm. Maybe he gets to choose his GM. Mm-hmm. You've got number 5. You've got number 7. Maybe you've got family there. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of positive stuff.
Sure.
Well, what about this? The Giants have got, they're over the salary cap by $5 million. The Broncos have $41 million available in our salary cap. You got to take that into consideration. So you want to revamp the team? You're $5 million over the cap out there in New York. That's a tough job.
Who else on the Broncos list will have multiple offers?
Ooh. Nobody.
Hackett won't?
I don't think so. Hackett is...
Will Hackett get an offer from the Broncos?
He's probably the second most coveted coach, if you're just going to base it off of total interview requests. I think he's the second most coveted coach right now. So logically, that would make sense that maybe if somebody has another offer, it's Hackett. As you brought up, and I'll give you credit, it feels like enough time has come and gone since the Hackett interview that we would have gotten a vibe if it was killer. Like if he just blew him away, somebody would have said something by now.
In all honesty, I've heard more good things about Gannon than Hackett.
Yeah, and Aaron Glenn. I heard a lot of good things about Aaron Glenn.
But all that being said, one thing we've given George Payton credit for is keeping a tight lip on stuff. We can roll on that. Maybe it's just... It's not as chit-chatty as it once was.
Well, I think that's a true statement. I do think that George runs a very tight ship. But when somebody blows you away, you got a lot of people in that room. You got Kelly Klein. You've got Patrick Smythe. You've got Ray. You've got...
Darren Moogie.
You've got the cap guy, Rich Hurtado. That's a lot of people in the room. Nobody has a friend that they're going to say something to.
They have in the past. That's how we've known. People have loose lips. I mean, we've heard stuff before. It was pretty obvious, too, because you're right about something else, which we should talk about. In the past, the guys came here. I mean, it was so obvious
it's just weird.
With Foxy, if you remember, DenverBroncos.com was like doing a day in the life. They were picking him up at the airport. They were driving him in for the interview. They had a camera. It was like this transparent, and that was because Josh was just so awful. And the Broncos felt like we need to...
Give us some hope.
That is correct.
We're kind of there again.
And we had heard going back in that process, it really was Fox's job, like start to finish. And they kind of wanted to show off the deal. But why? Why did they go on the road? Why,
I have no clue. I think that is so interesting to me. You know, historically, if somebody is in the playoffs, okay, you go to them. That's the way it works. They don't have the luxury of coming to you. But everybody else comes to you. And I mean, if I'm just sitting there thinking about it, if I'm George Payton, where do I feel like I can get the most accomplished? Sitting in my own office and making them come to me? Or going on the road and flying all across America in 7 days? I honestly, D-Mac, I can't figure out for the life of me why they're on the road interviewing these candidates. Can you think of any reason why they are?
The only logic I can think of is this just is what George Payton likes to do because he's been a lifelong scout, and this is just what he does. When he goes out to find something, he goes on the road. He's a road dog. He's a road warrior. This is just who he is. Other than that, I really can't explain it. It doesn't make a lot of logistical sense, that's for sure. But meanwhile, while the Rams get ready for the Buccaneers, and I'm sure that has everybody's attention there in L.A., Rams beat writer for The Athletic is Jordan Rodrigue. I hope I got that right. It feels like it should be Jordan.
Just yell at him if you didn't.
Is it Jordan? Did I get it wrong?
No, you got it right. It is Jordan.
Okay.
It's nice and simple, nothing fancy. Yeah.
All right. We want to talk about Kevin O'Connell. I know that's probably low on the radar for what Rams fans are into because you got a huge game coming up. But in terms of the Broncos, what can you tell us about Kevin O'Connell?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if I was going to pick a starting point of what I think would probably be one of the reasons why he's drawn Denver's interest is his work with young quarterbacks. I mean, it's really not something that's a secret at this point around the league and certainly in league circles about how invested he is in the development part. And it's a huge reason why Sean McVay wanted him on his staff and really pushed for him back when O'Connell was kind of transferring teams. First of all, they really were trying to continue to sustain some of that early success they had had with Jared Goff. And also, what do you do next at that point, right? You always are in the quarterback business if you're a team. And so you really need a good developer of that quarterback position. Sean McVay being a guy who designs the offense, calls the plays, maybe not someone who is going to spend as much time as needed with that player. So you need to bring in someone who compliments you in that way. And he really felt that from Kevin O'Connell. And I think you see it specifically in what he's been able to do with Bryce Perkins through the preseason. Bryce Perkins was such a good, like he performed so well in the preseason that the Rams actually had to sign him to their active roster as a third string quarterback. They weren't going to keep three, but Bryce Perkins has come so far along in his development under O'Connell that if they put him on the practice squad, they knew of several teams who were going to poach him from them. So they've had to keep him on their active roster all season. And that, to me, it's a really big nod, not just to Bryce and the work he's put in, but also to how closely Kevin has worked with not just him, but also onboarding Matthew Stafford into this offense. It's pretty complicated to learn.
Jordan, it's always tough when you're talking about candidates that are coordinators, but they don't call plays. How much is them? How much is it Sean McVay? So I guess my question for you, what could you tell us about Kevin O'Connell's responsibilities in that offense, and how much of what we watch on Sundays is his influence?
Well, he does work directly with Matthew Stafford through the entire game. So when you see them diagnosing plays or they're between series, it's actually not Sean who's working with Matthew. Sean at that point is then working overall with some of the coaches upstairs in the headset planning, Kevin in the headset as well, but definitely working with some of those guys upstairs with strategy, and then also working a little bit, with Raheem Morris on the defensive side. So when you're looking at them troubleshooting each drive in each series, that's directly Kevin and Matthew Stafford. Matthew said this week that Kevin is the guy who he actually probably talks to the most throughout the week in terms of what practice and between snaps, between reps. And you see it. I mean, seeing those guys through the spring and summer, if you're a head coach like Sean McVay, Sean, as we know here, is just really, really invested in each phase and particularly does design and call that offense. But you also needed to really onboard this veteran quarterback into this new system. And then they also changed the system from what even was on tape in terms of spreading it out wider and doing a lot more of the drop back stuff. So that was a lot of Kevin O'Connell as well. And I think when Kevin is in these interviews, one thing he may point to, because he does not call plays live during games. He does during the preseason, but not in the regular season. One thing he'll probably point to was that sort of remaining holdover period in Washington when he was calling plays and drew a lot of attention for that and a lot of praise for that. So I think that's probably, if people are looking at play calling specifically, that's probably what he will point to. But in terms of what his sort of brand is overall as an offensive guy, as a guy who does want to be a head coach at some point, he'll probably point to that teaching type of role that he's had. Not just, having the ability to call plays, but also really onboarding this new system the Rams are running, this evolution of Sean McVay's old system, and then onboarding Matthew Stafford while also developing some of the younger guys behind him.
Who else is interested in him?
Well, you hear he's a target. I'm not going to put words in the mouths of some of these national reporters, but you heard early in the year that the Panthers were interested in talking to him as an OC job. Mm. You hear about last year, you know, Brandon Staley, I do know this. I'm not putting words in anyone's mouth saying this. Brandon Staley did want to bring him in as his offensive coordinator, but Sean McVay actually blocked the move. He doesn't really do that very often. So that to me was quite a signal of how important Kevin was within their system. You hear a couple of teams around the league other than Denver is interested. I heard you guys talking before about the guys going on the road, and I thought that was striking because in these times of Zoom and whatnot,
right,
you haven't really seen that very much. But I think there's a level of competitiveness that comes throughout this process, especially with a couple of these candidates that it sounds like Denver has targeted. And not just a level of competitiveness, but also I think a level of figuring out what combinations might work because they've done that in-person assessment. So like say they found a different, a candidate they really like as a head coach. Who else among the interviews they've had in person throughout this trip have really stood out in terms of maybe matching with that person? So I would definitely keep that open as well.
All right, we appreciate it. By the way, Jordan, you would have never seen somebody more depressed on his first day with a new team than Kenny Young when he joined the Broncos.
How is Kenny? Is he good?
Great.
He's a great guy, man.
He's great addition.
He's the best.
Oh, yeah. He is the best.
Everybody loves
him. Yeah. It's just that we literally felt bad for him when he came out here because, he was a starter. The right. Rams had won like a bunch of games in a row. He just didn't see it coming. And
yeah, and he... any way the Rams could try to pry the Broncos books open and get a look at what was going on in there. That was a crazy thing, and I think Kenny was really missed, and he's really respected around here.
Are you guys digging Vaughn?
Oh, he's awesome. Oh my gosh. That guy's never in a bad mood. Like whatever kind of coffee he drinks in the morning, I need to drink some of that coffee because he is never in a bad mood. It's remarkable.
Oh, we joked around because no matter what the situation is, Vaughn is like the most optimistic person in the world. Right. And
he's party Vaughn. He's the party guy. Everybody wants to hang with Vaughn.
Yeah, he's the Vaughnster. Ask him. He'll refer to himself.
Six sacks in five games, right?
He's doing good, huh?
Yeah.
I love it. It's been cool. You know, he's actually brought out that ghost swim move too.
Right.
That it's just he had. You know, I remember watching years ago. You know, Broncos in big games and all this stuff, and you'd see him bust out that ghost swim move. That thing is deadly. Oh my gosh! I've seen it on TV, and now seeing it in person, you're like, man, he's still got it.
All right, well, hopefully you guys have a good run and ruin Tom Brady's life to whatever degree it can be ruined.
Yeah, I'm rooting for you guys.
We're pulling for the Rams, no doubt about it here. Yeah. So, all right, thank you, Jordan. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
Vaughn's doing it again. Dang it, unbelievable. Six sacks in the last five games. He's turning it on in the playoffs. He's got playoff Vaughn going. He's about to go up against Tom Brady. He's probably going to terrorize him again. Oh, man, he's doing it.
I don't know what y'all talking about.
He's making them look smart, isn't he?
Thank you.
Yeah, he's always in a good mood unless he's talking to Stoke and Zach.
By the way, those guys, that guy. What an easy game to root for somebody, the Rams over the Bucks. I mean, are you kidding me?
I mean, I've got two adopted teams in the NFL. It's the Rams and the 49ers and a little bit the Packers, but I'll always root for them. But, yeah, of course that's an easy one.
Yeah, like, it's easy for us to root Rams over the Bucks. I think it's easy to root for the Bills over the Chiefs. Why would we root for the Chiefs to do anything? It actually doesn't even matter who's playing the Chiefs. Niners over the Packers. I think that's an easy one to root for. There's way more ties than the Packers. And plus, we want things to suck for Aaron Rodgers.
Right. Be miserable.
Yeah.
Get grumpy.
Bengals-Titans, do we...
I know who you're rooting for.
Oh, I like Joe Burrow. I'm not like, you know.
I love Mike Vrabel, though, man.
I like Mike Vrabel, too.
Yeah. I think I'm pulling for the Titans.
Yeah, I don't sit there. Here's the thing with the Bengals. Can I give you something that's, like, just somewhat sad? I mean, there was nothing more pathetic than the Buffalo Bills having a second place parade and having a "we just lost the Stanley Cup" parade in Buffalo. Second place parades and celebrations, Tyler, are pathetic.
Yeah, that's not a good look.
In my opinion.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Okay.
Agreed.
The Bengals winning their first playoff game in 31 years for that town, they really were going around there as if they had just won the Super Bowl. Zach Taylor went to a local bar to give the bar and the fans a game ball because they won a playoff game.
And Marvin Lewis used to get there all the time, but he never won that one.
Such a big deal to win a game. Right. You're in a bar giving the fans a game ball because you won a playoff game?
Party. Celebrate. Let's go.
I guess I am too cool for that because I think that is pathetic. And this... I don't know what to tell you. I was in Buffalo. Second place parades suck. Celebrating a playoff win is ridiculous. Am I wrong?
No, of course you're not wrong. Of course you're not wrong. Real quick, super quick.
Yeah.
Kevin O'Connell, absolutely my second favorite candidate.
Okay. All right, if you got a question for Tyler, 303-713-1043. That's the Bengal celebration. Everybody do the icky shuffle.
That'll be the celebration when I get my second favorite candidate.
Okay, we can dig into it. We get your Mount Palumbus Peak questions coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with the Signar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of a Signar and see how much your business can save.
From the banks of Cherry Creek to the Flatirons of Boulder to the South Stands of Mile High, he's the state of Colorado's native son. A man of mythical and physical proportion. University of Colorado Buffalo's team captain. Denver Broncos Super Bowl 50 champion. He is Mount Columbus. Who dare attempt scale the mighty Mount Columbus on this day?
Mount Columbus Week is brought to you by Plumline Services. Turn to the experts you trust. That's a little conspiracy theory, so tinfoil hat for you.
All right, I'll put it on.
Emerson in Denver, Mount Columbus. Why have the Seahawks been so quiet publicly about not trading Russell Wilson? The Packers were very defensive about not trading Rodgers, so why are they so quiet about Russ?
Mount Columbus.
Okay, I'm trying to put the conspiracy hat on here to play the game, but it's a tough one because I think it's a very obvious answer to this. I don't know how far down the conspiracy road I can go. Here's the deal. Aaron Rodgers was campaigning to get out of Dodge. Russell Wilson, his agent has leaked some teams. You've never heard a word from Russell Wilson. What you've heard from Russell Wilson, I want to play in Seattle for the next 20 years.
Couple of cryptic tweets, though.
No doubt about it. No doubt. No doubt, but he has not put it out there himself, nor has he made it nearly as obvious as Aaron Rodgers made it. So the reason why they're not talking about it is because Russell hasn't put his foot down. I was on air on a Seattle station yesterday, talked a lot about Russell Wilson. And the bottom line is if Russell wants to get traded, he's got to be willing to be the bad guy. Like, he's got to be willing to be like Aaron Rodgers or worse. And if he's willing to do that, he can get himself traded for sure. But so far, what he's done publicly is he said, I love Seattle. I want to spend the rest of my career here in Seattle. I hope that I play another 20 years here in Seattle. And those are all comments that he's made since the season ended. So as of now, Russell just has not done what he needs to do to take this thing serious. And unless Russell Wilson is willing to be the bad guy, that kind of goes against his entire DNA. I mean, that dude wants to be loved. I just don't think that he is willing to be the bad guy and make Seattle fans hate him. He lives on that stuff. He's the good guy. I'm nice. I'm Mr. Perfect. I just don't think he's willing to go that far. And because he has not done it, all he's done is embrace the fact that he wants to stay in Seattle. Well, Seattle hasn't had to deal with it in a public manner.
Tyler, you're the new owner of the Broncos.
Hold on.
Oh.
You're better at conspiracies, though.
Oh.
So you answer that one. I gave the honest answer, but you're the conspiracy guy.
I think it does say something that they're not saying anything because I think he is in play. So the reason why the Seahawks aren't saying anything is because they can't back it up. And they know Dan Quinn. And with the last second approach for Dan Quinn, when you had days to ask for permission, to me, there's already something in the works with the Seahawks to get the Giants' top two picks in this draft. Russell Wilson to the Giants with Dan Quinn. And the Seahawks are already thinking about how they're about to rebuild with Pete Carroll.
You were so convincing in the way that you said that, that I don't think you think that's a conspiracy.
I know, actually. I think that's what's going on. I actually think that's what's happening.
I mean, you said that with such authority and no hesitation. I think you actually believe that.
I actually do believe that.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, you're out
of your mind. I don't know. It's pure conjecture.
Of course.
But if you were to do a deal with the Seahawks, from both teams' angles, you can see where that would work. There's a huge if there. There's a huge if or a but, however you want to do it. And that's if the Seahawks want to move on from Russ.
Yeah, that's a huge if, because if you got Russell Wilson, I know what you're saying. I'm not trading them. If I got Russell Wilson, I know what I'm saying. I'm not trading them. Like I said, I was on that show out in Seattle yesterday, and the only sort of logical explanation of why the Seahawks would move on from him is that he's got 2 years left. He's made it pretty dang clear that he's not coming back. Now, he actually hasn't said that, so I don't know that you could say he's made it very clear, but his agent has. So if you think that there's zero chance of re-signing him and you don't think you have a Super Bowl winning team, then okay, I guess in theory you could say, well, we're not getting him back and we're not going to win a Super Bowl in the next 2 years, so we might as well get the value and rebuild. I mean, in my opinion, I think it's really simple. If you got Russell Wilson, if you've got Aaron Rodgers, if you've got Tom Brady, every year is a championship window. Every year. I don't care how bad they were this year.
All right, I'm going to make you the new owner of the Denver Broncos.
So that's really fun. I quit this job, just for the record.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine keeping this if you're the new owner of the Broncos.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you can make a spaceship out of anything you want. But you also
I'm also going to be absentee, just so you know.
Is that right?
Yeah. I'm just going to collect the checks, mm-hmm. and I'm going to build a city in a stadium. But I really don't want to show up to work.
Well, this texter wants to give you this new position as owner of the Broncos, but you have to do one thing.
All right.
I'll tell you what it is next.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
What was that pop punk thing you were doing the other day? Like your four?
Oh, like my the dream concert of all dream concerts. Let's see if I can find it. Richie and I are going.
When is it?
Kevin's not allowed because he doesn't know any of the bands.
Oh, really?
I want to bring you along just so I can toss you into the mosh pit, and so Richie and I could just watch it.
We'll get it. I'll get it started.
So this is like my youth, man. It's the When We Were Young concert, all right? So what does that imply? Well, it's a bunch of bands that are getting old, right? It's the emo pop punk early 2000s crowd. That's what it was. You got AFI, My Chemical AFI. Romance. You got Senses Fail. You've got The Starting Line. You got Avril. You got Paramore. You got Dashboard. You got Taking Back Sunday.
Kevin, seriously, you've not heard of any of these bands?
So
really?
Of all these bands, I listed them. My favorite in order, Alkaline Trio, Taking Back Sunday.
I don't know them.
Really?
I do not know them. I know Alkaline Trio.
Okay.
Yep.
The Used, The Starting Line, and Senses Fail.
You know, I'm a little weak on those two.
This is my childhood. This is my youth. This is what defined me. Yep. I was a little emo pop punk rocker.
Yeah, you go a little deep though.
And I wore a collared shirt to the concerts, which, you know what, is the most punk thing you could possibly do.
There you go.
Wear the collared shirt to the concert.
Where is this concert happening? And I'm sorry, I missed
Vegas. Yes.
Oh, hello.
Yes,
where?
Yes. Yes. I don't know Vegas, man. Like, yeah.
Oh, I might be going back to Vegas, by the way.
So October 22nd, Las Vegas Festival Grounds, wherever that is.
I have no idea where
that is. When we were young.
Dude, we got to, I'm telling you, man. Guys flied out, Broncos, Raiders, let's go. That was so, I mean.
They might have time it with that.
Oh, my God, that'd be great. I'm just telling you. Yeah, I stumbled on it. It definitely wasn't a big plan, but I ended up there for it. It was so much fun. It was a blast. And the Broncos fans traveled great. There were tons of them there, but the game was just so unexciting and uninspiring. You couldn't really hear the Broncos fans. They were there, though. I promise you they were there.
I mean, I can only imagine how many fans they're going to be when it's not the day after Christmas. And I'm being serious. Like, if there were a lot of fans that day,
there were tons of empty
seats. Imagine what it's going to be like in the middle of October.
Yep.
Right?
I agree. There were tons of empty seats, and the resale value was through the roof, and they just went unsold. I didn't quite get it.
I mean, but, somebody says, Tyler, check out Thrice. Are you kidding me? Like, Artist in the Ambulance? Like, I lived off of it. What are you talking about? Check out Thrice.
My goodness. Finally, I respect you now, Tyler. There you go.
I sent Richie a screenshot of Thrice the other day.
Tyler, whiny emo music? Really? Come on, man.
Yeah, yeah. So, when you get dumped by the same girl 5 times in high school, you listen to Dashboard. That's what you do. So I listened to Dashboard a lot in high school.
Yeah, that's about right.
Right.
All right, to cleanse the palate, here's Jokic making fun of me.
Wait, you had a great teaser. You were going to ask me something. I forget what it was, but it was a great tease. I laughed.
Here we go. You're the own.
Come on, pay off the tease. How many years have you been doing this anyways?
34.
Yeah, pay off the tease. It's the first thing you do.
34.
I'm just telling you.
34.
So that makes you probably old.
34 and a half. Tyler, you're the new owner.
I'm barely older than that.
Isn't that crazy? Tyler, you're the new owner of the Denver Broncos. What type of research are you doing before you purchase the team on the new head coach candidate? I don't like how that was put. Let me ask you this way. You're the new owner of the Broncos.
Yeah.
What do you hope they've done in the hiring of the new head coach?
I hope they hire someone good. I mean, because
based
honestly,
on what are you looking for?
Well, here's the deal. The next owner is probably going to know absolutely nothing about football. Like, seriously, nothing. In the big picture, when you're talking about X's and O's, if you ask him to go in there and sit in an interview with any of these candidates, he's going to have no clue what any of them are talking about. So if I'm just some rich billionaire, I'm hoping that they get it right. Now, I don't really care, to be honest with you, because I'm buying a $4 billion transaction. And if they hired a coach that I don't like, and if Jim Harbaugh is my friend, and I want to bring Jim Harbaugh, even though I'm a Michigan alum, I'm not going to care that he's at Michigan. I'm going to bring him, unlike Stephen Ross, right? So point being, if I buy a $4 billion transaction and they just hired a coach that I don't like, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to fire him. And I'm going to pay another $30, $40 million. And you know what that's going to be? 1% of what the total transaction was. So I don't care who they hire. I just hope they hire somebody good.
Can you believe what we're going to go through here over the next few days, few weeks, months? We are going to have a new coach, a new coaching staff, including coordinators. We're going to have a new owner, and then we're going to dig into what kind of quarterback we want moving forward. It is crazy.
So you know what? I would care a whole lot more about the QB than I would the coach, because the quarterback's going to sell jerseys. The quarterback is going to sell merchandise, and the quarterback I'm going to be stuck with at least for a few years. So I hope if they go after a QB, it's a big name. And really, I'd probably care less about whether they're good and more if they can put seats in the stands and sell jerseys. I mean, in the big picture, honestly, do you not think it's insane to think that the coach is going to have any impact on the sale of this franchise? Like, if you're looking at the Broncos, what the heck does it matter who the coach is? You're buying a $4 billion transaction.
Nope.
You want to fire him? It's 1% of what you just spent.
That's why my key thing, if I was the owner, I just want a guy who fires me up, who's just excited. You know, that's exciting. You know, I just wouldn't want to drip. If I bought the team for $4 billion, can you imagine if the first person they brought to you was Vic Fangio? I mean, are you kidding me?
Well, you know what I do? I fire him. I mean, I'm not kidding. Here's what I would hope for. Excitement. Give me an exciting quarterback. Give me a Cliff Kingsbury type of coach that is going to make the fan base excited, because that's all I really care about, and that's why I'm buying this organization, because I want to make a boatload of money. So, you know, in light of that, it's ironic that that's the question that you asked me, because the game ball I was going to give today was actually going to go to a team. You know, we're sitting here, we're talking about Jonathan Gannon. How uninspiring would that feel? You know, if we hired Aaron Glenn, how uninspiring would that feel? Well, I just want to give a game ball to an organization that is going after entirely uninspiring candidates.
Who's like
insane candidates. Do you want to know who the Houston Texans are interviewing to be their head coach?
I know one of them.
Hines Ward is one of them.
Okay.
What is Hines Ward doing? Nothing. Yeah, I mean, I think he's a coach in some college somewhere. I don't know.
Hines Ward, all right.
Yeah, okay. You know who else they just interviewed today?
I do know.
For second time in 2 years? Josh McCown. So we're looking at Hines Ward. We're looking at Josh McCown. So who are we going to round out this group with? You know, these guys don't have much experience. Well, let's go after Jonathan Gannon, the guy that I said would be the most uninspiring hire the Broncos could possibly get. All right, we'll get an exciting name in there. Let's add Joe Lombardi into the mix.
Who?
Joe Lombardi, let's add him into the mix, right? Yeah, that's right. Well, he's Vince's son. No, the math doesn't work out on that one, D-Mac. So game ball goes to the Houston Texans, because no matter who we hire, it's going to be more exciting than who they hire. Unbelievable mix of candidates. What the heck are they doing, D-Mac? Not a clue.
Way to go.
Way to sell that conspiracy theory, but you didn't have to sell it because you believed it.
I kind of did.
That's why I like you, man. Why I like you. Richie, take the day off tomorrow because you took the day off today. Kevin, way to hold it down. Love you all. We got Nick and Cecil coming up next. Changes in every
day. Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.